Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sign Guy back with you here on another Sunday afternoon, final one of April in 2017. Some show notes real quick. If you're looking for wrestling today, KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. You have NWA Blue Collar Wrestling today in North Portland, where you can find myself later this afternoon, as well as the return of Casey Carlisle, the NWA Blue Collar. Down in Las Vegas, Nevada, metric crap ton of shows happening. They're starting with a few tonight, leading into the CAC convention. So if you're in Las Vegas, definitely look around. There's a lot going on down there. Without further ado, I'd like to jump into the show today. It's a topic near and dear to us here in the state of Washington. We're going to be discussing House Bill 1420, which some of you might know as the Lucha Bill here in the state of Washington. It recently passed, became law, but for the people that are listening today that don't understand what it is or what it meant, I'd like to bring on our guest. First of all, we have Jake Stratton with us. Thank you very much for being on today.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Josh Black. Josh, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Since Jake is the regarded expert in this, everyone that I've ever talked to has said he is the most knowledgeable on this. So, Jake, if you wouldn't mind, take us through what House Bill 1420 was and what it was that wrestling in Washington was trying to accomplish.
Well, I'm working, we formed a group called Legalized Wrestling, which is just a small group of people who are trying to change the laws regarding wrestling in Washington State so that it can open up the market a little bit more and more local wrestling can run legally and then the whole wrestling scene can grow more, which it seemed like it was for a while a little stagnant around here when I first came to the state. So we've been working on that. And one of the things we did was develop House Bill 1420 with the Department of Licensing and help from Representative Zach Hudgens created the bill. And basically what the bill did was two things. It changed the ambulance requirement, which previously required wrestling promoters to have an ambulance and two paramedics on hand for the entire course of the night, which is kind of a big added expense that's not that necessary. And now, as soon as the bill goes into effect, or the law goes into effect, the promoter will only have to have a certified EMT on hand. And so that'll reduce expenses for promoters, let's hope, and keep the same level of safety for the workers. And then it also creates a license for a pro wrestling training school, which they call a theatrical wrestling training school. The only reason that they call it theatrical wrestling, it's something that the state came up with basically to differentiate between a student or amateur pro wrestler, somebody who's learning in one of these schools, and somebody who's an established pro who's licensed. So instead of using the language amateur pro wrestler, which doesn't make any sense, or calling somebody an amateur wrestler, which everybody equates to collegiate or Olympic wrestling, instead of using that language, they decided to call it theatrical wrestling. So with the Theatrical Wrestling Training School license basically allows somebody to open a pro wrestling training school and operate that school legally. And then if the school wants to, they can, or has the facilities to, they can run shows featuring their students at the school. And those shows would not be subject to the same sort of fees and some of the regulations that the current promoters would have to have if you were promoting a regular wrestling show. So that's basically it in a nutshell. There you go. We just passed the law, and the individual rules and regulations that need to be established to make the law work or make the license work will be determined pretty soon. We're waiting for the Department of Licensing to officially schedule some what they call rules workshops. And anybody who wants to weigh in on how the licenses would be or the license would be executed can be part of the workshop.
Now, Josh, can you tell us a little bit about your perspective of House Bill 1420 and what it meant for you personally to get involved in this?
Yeah, well, Jake pretty much summed up what the bill was. The reason we came into it is because we ran a show here called Seattle Semi-Pro Wrestling from 2003 to 2009, which was more of like a theater comedy heavy spoof of wrestling. We did it on a bar on a stage without a ring, and we never considered ourselves wrestlers. We were just like doing a goofy comedy show where wrestling was the medium. And our company got shut down by the state. And then when that happened and we tried to appeal it, and we were like, you know what, we've been doing this for long enough. Maybe we do want to train and get a ring and go legal. And we couldn't even figure out how to navigate those waters because the laws here are so weird. And that's when we started realizing that most of the laws in Washington state are basically copy-paste from MMA and boxing onto pro wrestling, and they don't really apply because the cat's out of the bag. Like, wrestling's not real, not as far as a combat sport or a competitive competition. So that's when we kind of, like, realized the laws are copy and pasted over where they don't belong and out of date. So when we saw the opportunity, that's when me and Jake went down to Olympia and started to try and weigh in to, like, see what we could do to try and change these laws and get us out, get professional wrestling out from that umbrella of competitive combat sport, because it is, like, you know, it's more theater, and no one's going in there trying to hurt each other. We're going in there trying to protect each other, and it's not a reasonable thing to compare us to the MMA and boxing like we are legally here, so. We started navigating those waters and figuring it out, and now we're passing this bill as one step for sure, and we've changed a lot of the rules and stuff, and it's opened up the market here, and now there's wrestling. 5 years ago, there was no wrestling in Washington except WWE, and now there's four companies I can think of off the top of my head running in Washington, in Seattle, that are doing well and successful, and there's this new scene happening and building up. It's a good thing.
Now, professional wrestling on an independent level is on a major upswing right now, basically all across the United States and Canada. Attendance is way up. You see a lot of revenue coming in, merchandise and all the side revenue streams are picking up here, it seems like. In the state of Washington, like Josh was just saying, there were not a lot of companies running a few years ago. Now there are several across the state. Spokane has opened up two promotions now. There are several in Western Washington now. Do you think, Jake, that right now with the bill passing, when wrestling is at the level of increase that it is, that Washington might start being sort of a destination place for wrestlers? Do you think that new promotions are going to pick up and that a lot of the bigger names are going to want to flock to Washington, where in the past it was kind of few and far between?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, that's our intent with the work that we're doing. It seemed to me that if you're an independent wrestler and you're trying to tour. You're trying to do the drives, as they say, trying to tour across the United States. And previous to recently, if you were trying to work your way up the West Coast, you'd find a lot of work in California, you find a lot of work in Oregon, then you get to Washington, you basically have to drive all the way through to get to Canada to start getting some more work again. And it just seems to me now that there's a lot more opportunities for independent workers that are working across the country, and the more independent promotions that get strong and build and grow in Washington, the greater that opportunity is going to be for the workers. What we're trying to do is a lot of the organizations that are working are popping up. But they're not fully licensed. And what we're trying to do is create opportunities so that it's going to be easier and cheaper for people to run licensed promotions. And it's going to have the school system is going to allow people who want to invest in Washington wrestling to open schools and to run their shows, show everybody what they can do there. And that's also going to allow for touring pros to come in and be able to run their workshops to be able to do seminars at these schools and to be able to wrestle on the shows with the students. And all of this is going to be legal and above board and approved by the Department of Licensing, so that people promotions won't have to operate with the fear that the Department of Licensing is going to come in and try to shut down their show.
I know that wrestling has had its troubles with the Athletic Commission since the start here in Washington. It goes back to Don Owens' era where there were troubles with it. Daifula Dabashi opened up his company in 1990, and he had nothing but trouble with the Athletic Commission, and still to this very day has had issues whenever he has wanted to run shows. Do you think that now that the bill has passed that the promotions can breathe easier, or do you think that this is step one of an ongoing process that still needs to be explored and worked out between the state and the wrestling promoters?
Everything that you have to do within law and within government is a bunch of small steps that take a long time to execute. So this is what we've done is just a small step. What we've done is create some opportunity, and it's still going to be up to the promoters and up to the workers and up to the wrestling scene, the people involved, to take advantage of these opportunities. And what we're trying to do is basically, and what we've found in our work is that, we're no longer dealing with the Athletic Commission. We're dealing with the Department of Licensing, and the people that are now in charge of the Combative Sports Division of the Department of Licensing have proven to be, to at least to us, the people who have worked with them recently, to be very open to revitalizing independent wrestling in Washington State. We brought to their attention that there was the only licensed promotion was an out-of-state promotion, which is the WWE, and that nobody else was maintaining their license. And so we were here in the state. So we're like, what's wrong with the laws that this is happening? Why aren't more people willing to invest in this? And I think what's happened since then is we've worked with them and tried to turn the DOL from like a scary monster that's this faceless monster that we are afraid of into somebody that we can work with, and a monster that is on our side. I don't want to chop the head off of the DOL dragon. I want to put a saddle on it, and so we can ride it to what we want, because I feel like these people, the Department of Licensing, any government agency, their job is to serve the public. Their stated goal is to, the only reason they say they want to oversee wrestling is for the protection of the wrestlers. So we want to make sure that, that their attempts at oversight don't interfere with actual business, because for a while there, it seemed like that they were so concerned with wrestler safety that they've basically priced everybody out of running wrestling promotions, so nobody was wrestling, so therefore pretty safe, But right now, I think that they are on our side. They want to see local wrestling succeed. They want their money. They want their tax money that comes from all this, you know. So they want it to succeed. They don't want to shut shows down. I think it's a real good time. But I think as long as everybody is willing to treat the DOL with the respect that they demand, then and pay them their fealty, you know, and jump through the hoops, you know, take these steps, then wrestling can continue to thrive. I think the deal is there are always going to be these hoops to jump through unless we can somehow, like, our steps can eventually open up the state completely and remove regulation. But I think as long as there are going to be steps to jump through, what we're trying to do is make those steps as easy and cheap as possible so that people can invest in local wrestling and make it worth their while. I mean, if you look at it from a small business perspective, if you look at your costs going out for putting on a wrestling show versus your money coming in, if you can't make a profit, then why would you continue to do it? So we're just making those expenses as cheap as possible.
Jake, it was in the very late 80s when Vince McMahon went to the state of New Jersey and proclaimed that his company was Sports Entertainment as a way to bypass some of the strict regulations there that largely dealt with taxing and being lumped in with combative sports like boxing at the time. Do you see this as sort of a similar situation where a lot of the promoters are hoping to get out of the heavy taxation that was involved in running in Washington? Because I know that taxation was another large reason why promoters were leery of running license-sanctioned shows in our state. Or is this something that... is it a little bit different than what WWE had done in New Jersey?
Well, it's a little different. It's a little different because the DOL, the Department of Licensing, that oversees the Combative Sports Division, which oversees pro wrestling, MMA, and boxing, they don't care that what we're doing is not a competitive sport. They have written the law that says even though this is a predetermined contest there's a chance that somebody can be hurt, therefore we want to oversee it. So basically it's even though that's been accepted by them, they're still going to oversee it. So we're just trying to do what we can to make it smoother for the people to use the existing rules to their benefit and run these shows. I think I would love it if we could make some sort of logical argument, you know, and completely remove oversight and regulation from by the state by making this argument. This is not two guys trying to hurt each other and the winner gets a prize, the other guy gets less of a prize. This is two guys trying to entertain people by putting on a simulated fight where they try to make it look like they're hurting each other badly while at the same time protecting each other. That's at some point, maybe we could make that argument, but I think for right now we're stuck with the DOL. So we're just trying to, like I said, make the DOL work for us instead of for them.
Josh, it looks like with the passing of 1420 that it's going to be beneficial to the promoters and it's going to help regulate and allow shows to be ran a little easier than they had been. Looking at things from the standpoint of talent, be it wrestlers, referees, ring announcers, what have you, where do you see the most benefit in 1420 passing for the talent standpoint?
Well, the fact that there's already more promotions and more shows happening just means more work for the talent, which is one of me and Jake's goals from the get-go, was not just for the workers to be able to work every weekend, but for me and Jake to just be able to go to a show every weekend without having to put it on ourselves. And, you know, a few years ago, all the wrestlers I know in Washington State would either go to Canada or Oregon every weekend to work. And now our friends are working Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all within an hour drive of Seattle. So it provides more opportunity for them to go out and work and perform and hone their craft and not have to leave the state every weekend just to go work and, you know, do what they love. Right now, I know last weekend there was 3 shows in Seattle all in one weekend, whereas 5 years ago, 3 years ago, we were lucky to have 1 show a month. So it provides a lot more opportunity for the guys to work and not have to leave the state to do it or go to leave the country. I mean, a lot of the guys would drive to Canada every month to perform once a month a few years ago, and now they get to work around their hometown and their home state every weekend.
Jake, right around the time that 1420 was passing here, Arkansas mm-hmm. had extremely similar legislation, which passed roughly about 4 days before it did here in Washington. Were you following what was going on in Arkansas and using what they were doing as a template as far as what you were doing to try to get 1420 passed here in Washington?
Not at all, actually. I didn't find out that there was similar legislation happening in Arkansas until you told me about it. Heading up to this podcast. I think that's great. I would love to know the details of it, and I haven't had a chance to look into it myself. So I'd love to know how that was working. I know that the legislature in terms of like creating the wrestling school license was something that I know that other states that have similar combative sports oversight, where it's like boxing, MMA, and wrestling, that they are developing this legislature so that MMA schools can do and boxing schools can do other similar things. You know, have an amateur level where schools can run shows and show off their students. So I think that might be tied to that. I don't know. I would love to talk to our friend from Texarkana here. Talk about this.
He is not yet. There are severe storms in Arkansas, so that's affecting the ability to call in today, but hopefully we will have him on at some point today. If not, I'll bring him on separately so we can discuss what exactly happened in the state of Arkansas.
Yeah, you know, send him my contact information. I'd love to talk to him about it. And, you know, I've actually talked to other people in Iowa and in New York State who have written me asking about information about what we're doing and about how they can approach the legislature in their states to try to deal with their various problems. I mean, it seems like just about every state, you know, there's some states that are completely wild, wild west. Like there's no oversight in California, as far as I know, for pro wrestling, and other states are really tightly controlled. I know that the laws on the books for New York State for pro wrestling have been there forever, and they're really specific, and people are trying to make them even more restrictive now there. So they've got a tough fight going on in New York. I'm very interested to find out what the boys did in Arkansas.
Absolutely. It was interesting to learn that both of our states so close together had very similar legislation going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
You mentioned New York and Iowa. There's, for the fans that don't know, a lot of states that have athletic commissions and have licensing for professional wrestling. Some of it's linked together. Some of it, the Department of Licensing, like we've said, is separate from the athletic commission. I have licenses in a few different states. They're almost always complications when dealing with getting licenses. It's never a completely seamless process. Now that you have seen 1420 pass, do you think that the wrestlers that are currently on the independent scene here in Washington are going to start getting licenses and running their business being licensed, or do you think that the performers are going to keep doing what they're doing and not really license up until WWE were to give them a look and they had to have one to perform there?
Well, I certainly hope. I mean, that's our goal in legalized wrestling is to make the laws and the process to become licensed and operate, you know, legally, to make it as smooth as possible and make it so that there's not that many complications and it's not that complex in order to get your license, whether it be the promoter's license or the or a wrestler's license, and to also make it inexpensive. To make it so that, you know, if you're going to embark on this as your career and invest in this as a investment, a small business, then you're going to be able to make money, make it worth your while. You know, so if somebody's going to invest in their wrestler's license, I want there to be a lot of licensed promotions or promotions that they can legally work at around the state. And if you want to be a promoter, I want to make it smooth and easy for you and cheap for you to put on a show so that you can make money on your show and then put on another show. Because if you're losing money on a show, there goes your impetus to put on the next one. And there goes the opportunity for the wrestler to work. So that's what it gets down to, right? Like that. So I think that with the legislation we passed, their opportunity now exists. And I'm hoping that we make it as smooth to execute the theatrical wrestling school license as it is to do the other licenses. You know, since we worked with the DOL, they've actually made a lot of improvements. We asked them to streamline their website so that people can more easily figure out how to get a promoter's license and how to get a regular wrestler's license. And they have streamlined their website. We asked them to, we've got them to change a bunch of different things in rule. We got them to change the requirement that promoters are responsible for decency and that there be no profanity at shows. I mean, that was written in law, which is kind of ridiculous, but we got them to change that. So, I mean, it's, you know, we're not saying that people should swear at shows or whatever like that. If you're doing an all ages show like that show in PWF last night, then you don't swear. You know, if you are working a show like 3-2-1 Battle in Seattle and it's an entirely adult audience, go ahead and swear. It shouldn't be determined by law. It should be determined by, you know, you're a human being. You can tell what you're supposed to be doing. And the promoter that lets swearing happen at a all ages show, you know, they're not running their business that well. And that's up to the, you know, if you get a worker on an all ages show that curses, you should be able to, you know, get in his face and say, man, don't do that again. That's all it takes. You don't need a law about it. There you go. So, we got those changes already. Like I said, I feel like the DOL is now ready to work with, independent wrestling in Washington State. I think that the success of the smaller promotions has allowed stuff like Defy Wrestling. They're officially licensed. Jim Perry, who's running Defy, is doing a great job showing it. Basically, it's a blueprint of how to run a successful licensed promotion. And he's got plans. He's going to be expanding across the state. And I think it's a great thing. It's going to be. I think there's a new dawn for independent wrestling in Washington State, and I think it's it's only a small part of what is what the work we've done. The rest of it is the workers and the promoters out there. They're, like I said, they're seizing the opportunity. They're doing what they need to do, and they're creating the network. They're creating the scene. They are responsible for their own future, and they're doing it. And I'm really happy to see it happen.
I will let you talk to Kevin Sullivan and get in his face about the swearing last night. And, you know, also, I believe Sonny Omero is fined $200 for such.
And, oh, absolutely. That guy has a filthy mouth. It's disgusting.
He really does. He never, never stops with the talking.
Yes, I know, constant. And I'd love to, Kevin, speaking of which, Kevin Sullivan had some lovely anecdotes to tell last night, with none of which that I feel like I can be speak about in public. It was always great. I was my first time meeting Kevin. It was fantastic.
Well, Josh and Jake, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by. He has some questions for you regarding House Bill 1420. So, Thez, help you both if I pass things along to QT.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Josh. Hello, Jake.
Hi.
How's it going?
Josh and Jake, I'd like to take this opportunity and a minute to applaud the efforts of Casey Carlisle and Sunny Days at last night's PWF wrestling event. A very good effort by both ladies. Yes.
I agree. I like that match. Yeah, it was good.
And I have some Mentos mints to pass on to Sonny O'Mara. Yes.
The fresh maker.
Yes. Okay. Well, Jake and Josh, I read a news article in the Olympia Associated Press said Governor Jay Inslee signed a bill Monday that creates a license for theatrical wrestling schools. Inslee called the sport the richest cultural tradition in the United States. The bill aligns wrestling with other schools that operate under the same licensing framework, such as martial arts studios and boxing gyms. Jake, do you agree with Governor Inslee when he said wrestling is the richest cultural tradition in the United States? How about boxing or track and field?
Well, there's javelin, of course. The javelin part of track and field is the richest, most important thing that... Wait, no, that was that's Greek. Never mind.
The bill was kind of dubbed the Lucha Libre bill, so Jay was more referring to the Lucha Libre aspect of professional wrestling and the cultural heritage that it has with the Latino community. I don't know if Jake wants to speak on that more, but I believe that's what he was talking about. He was talking more Lucha Libre than.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take Governor Inslee at his quote there, since he's not debating it, and say yes, I agree that it is one of the richest cultural heritage. And you know what? Interesting thing. One of the bill's supporters, Senator Michael Baumgartner, at one of the hearings, it took us 2 years to pass this bill, and when we passed it this year, it was because of the work we did the previous year. It takes a while for bills to pass in general, especially when they're brand new. But Michael Baumgartner, in the hearing, he said that he feels that pro wrestling is America's greatest source of soft power, which I thought was a great quote. What he means by that is what we do in America for pro wrestling, it shows all over the world. You know, like everybody knows, it doesn't matter what kind of weird small town you are in some distant country, you are familiar with pro wrestling. And you see pro wrestling, you can tell what's going on, even though you don't speak English. You can tell what's going on in a match. You can tell how these people hate each other. You see the story being told, and you can understand it. And so what he means by soft power is something like you got hard power, which is like everybody's scared of our weapons. But soft power is what makes other countries love us. And he says that, you know, that was his point, is wrestling makes other countries love America. I fully agree with that. I love wrestling. I think it is the universal language, and it is part of America's rich culture. I mean, America created pro wrestling, and then it went to Mexico and became its own thing and its own culture. It went to Japan, became its own thing and its own culture, but it started in America. So that, therefore, like jazz, it is one of America's great art forms.
Well, gentlemen, not to interrupt, but I believe we have been joined by Tex Arcana Jones. Tex Arcana, are you with us? Do we have Tex Arcana? Oh, storm must be still met some of them. So, all right, continue on, QT.
No
worries. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Jake and Josh, you'll be very interested to know that in a culture, in a poll taken in the United States and abroad, the second richest cultural tradition in sports was voted to be the East German, Bulgarian, and Soviet Union women's hammer throwers from the period of 1972 to 1976.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm into the hammer throwers from the 80s, but, you know, it's I could see that for sure. I mean, there's some great ladies. Some powerful, powerful women.
Oh, big women. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Josh,
I love a woman that can throw a hammer. I mean, absolutely.
Oh, yes. That's quite a bit. Now, if you take a Scotsman in a kilt, I wouldn't want to see that. Yes. I want to see that.
I'm sure Scotland's got their own poll results.
Yes. Josh, Lucha Bill 1420 was sponsored by Democratic Representative Jack Hudgens of Tukwila. It passed the State House on a 95-2 vote. Josh, do you know if Democrat Jack Hudgens has an amateur or pro wrestling background?
No, I don't believe he does. I know he's the way he came into that, and part of why it's called the Lucha Bill is because he's the representative for White Center in Seattle,
South
and
Park.
That's where
South Park
or South Park, yeah, South Park, where Lucha Libre Volcanico does their shows there every summer. They do a show there, and they were having to jump through all these hoops to put on the show, and Zach was at their event and heard about it, and that's how he came on board with all of this before we even got in touch with him. Jake knows more about the backstory there because he worked with Lucha Volcanico as an announcer at the time. But no, I do not believe he has any background or a record, as far as I know. But
Zach seems like the kind of guy who could talk his way out of a fight rather than get into it.
Hey, yep. He's just too nice of a guy. You wouldn't want to hit him. You'd want to buy him a beer.
Well, Josh, for his efforts in sponsoring this bill, do you think it's fair that he receives a dollar discount every time he goes to a Lucha event in the state of Washington, including Eastern Washington?
Well, any show I put on or have anything to do with, I'll make sure he's on the guest list. He shouldn't have to pay at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'll let him in for free and buy him a drink for sure. Yeah, anything I'm involved with.
Yeah. Zach's a great guy. He put in a lot of hard work for us, and this wouldn't have happened without him. So he should get ringside seats to any wrestling show he wants to go to, in my book.
Yeah. Zach Hudgens, and also give a shout-out to Senator Michael Baumgartner again and Senator Rebecca Saldana, who was so great on the Senate floor putting on the Lucha mask and cape from her childhood. And testifying on behalf of the bill. All three of those guys get a pass. But Zach Hudgens, he's put in, and he and his office, his assistants, Alice and then Doug Hanma, did so much great work. So they're heroes to me.
Okay. All right, well, Jake, in your opinion, should the two House members that voted against this bill be required to step into the ring and have a two-minute match against Northwest wrestler Azul Angel?
Yeah, it should be a handicap match because I think Azul Angel could take him, no problem. they should be punished for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh, elected legislatures in the state capitol often referred to Bill 1420, as you know, as a Lucha bill, because Lucha Libre Volcanica in Renton was heavily behind the promotion of this bill. My question is, have you yourself ever been to Lucha Libre Volcanica in Renton?
Well, actually, a few years ago, they moved their gym. And now the company that me and Jake work for, 321 Battle, works out of Evolve Fitness in Seattle here. And about a year ago, Lucha Libre Volcanico moved into our space. So we all share, we're roommates, if you will, at the gym. And we put on shows alternating weekends. So, yeah, I've seen them a lot. And those guys are great. Ave Rex, La Vispa, Gringo Loco, Sonico, like, they're all great workers. They put on a great show. And they're a bit, like I said, they're our roommates at the gym. We share a space with them. We're all, we're like a one big family, you know. All, we go to their shows and support them. They support us. We book each other. Like, you know, we do, we give them some space on our cards and they give us some space on their cards. We've become, instead of two separate entities like we were 2-3 years ago, you know, we're roommates and more kind of like one big family. And they put on more of a 3-2-1 battle is 21 and up. Or like 18 and up, but more of like a loud, rowdy, late night, drunken crowd, adult themed show. And then Lucha Volcanico puts on more of a family friendly earlier in the evening event. So it's kind of, you know, we each have our own unique take and feel to our shows, but we're intertwined and we all work together. And those guys are all great people and great workers.
Yeah, and Jose Gomez, who runs Lucha Libre Volcanico, he and Ave Rex have both testified on behalf of the bill and helped us out in the development of the bill for sure. And Ave Rex is a big part of what we've done as well. And he's just the man dedicated to his wrestling and his lucha career. And he's not usually part of our little podcasts and other promotional things that we've been doing, but he's definitely worked hard with us behind the scenes.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, Josh, after this bill passed the state house, it went on to the state Senate on March 7th. The first reading of the bill mentioned the bylaws and support of commerce, labor, and sports. On March 9th, executive action was taken in the Senate, comment on commerce, labor, and sports at 1:30 p.m., a majority voted on this, and it was then passed to the Rules Committee for a second reading. A final third reading occurred on March 31st. It passed with a yes vote of 46 to 0, no votes, and 3 excused. The Speaker of the Senate signed the bill, then the President of the Senate signed the bill, before it was delivered to Governor Inslee. My question is, do you know of the 3 state Senate members who excused themselves from voting, and should they be required then to buy an 8x10 glossy of Azul Angel, Guerrero Nocturnals, or Gringo Loco?
That's the biggest Azul Angel fans, man.
Yes.
My guess would be that they just weren't in attendance that day. So
yeah, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. they forfeit, and pretty sure they have to. They don't have to buy the 8x10s. They have to sit and forge the signatures of Azul Angel on a bunch of 8x10s so that he can sell them at his next gimmick.
Oh, okay.
They got to work
all
the
right
signature sweatshop for an hour.
All right, well, Jake, Governor Jay Inslee had to pound his gavel when the bill was passed. Are there any truth to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that you have bid on the so-called 1420 gavel on eBay, and if you put the highest bid, will you use this gavel to ring the next PWF main event ring bell?
There's no truth to that because I lost the bid. Yeah, no, somebody else got it, and so I'm not sure what they're going to do with it.
Is that really
hopefully, no, it's not a thing. I hope not. Inslee, that's his gavel. He uses it for everything, and I'm pretty sure he sleeps with it under his pillow, like all governors.
I much more like the tall chair with the leather, the cherry sitting in when he signed it.
His chair was amazing.
Washington State logo. It has the Washington State logo engraved in leather behind him, and it's like a high back old oak. That thing, that chair is awesome. I'll take a chair over a gavel.
All right. Well, I will do my own investigation if Dash Venture or Casey Carlisle bid on his gavel. I'll do that investigation. Get back to you. Yes.
I hope that bastard Dash Venture didn't bid on it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay. All right, well, back to you, Sign Guy.
I can see Dash Venture definitely bidding on that, actually. Now, Jake, around our state, there's a high level of wrestling here in Northwest Washington, in the Seattle, Tacoma, and surrounding areas. There's more to this than just our little area, of course. This is going to affect the whole state. There's, of course, the two promotions in Spokane. You have Yakima, which is a major city in Washington that even WWE runs. You have Bellingham, which is up near Canada. A lot of places that are viable wrestling towns. Do you see this affecting what fans in other parts of the state get to see as far as wrestling goes?
Well, yeah, I do. I think that I'm just really hoping that, like I said before, that this the opportunity that's being created by the bill is picked up on by as many people that are willing to really dedicate themselves to local wrestling and take advantage of it. I think that, you know, I would hope that that any town that has a venue that can host pro wrestling sees it as a, you know, somebody there sees it as a way that they could create something. It's hard to say what exactly people are going to do with it, but like I said, as long as we've created the opportunity, I'm hoping that if people have that desire, that dedication to pro wrestling, that they could take advantage of these opportunities and grow the market to what it should be. I mean, I think at one time in the 70s, there was promotions running every day of the week in Washington State. And I think that sort of thing could come back. I think that, I really think that one of the things that's benefiting independent wrestling across the country, in here in North America, all across, is less of a focus on the old like adversarial territorial system, you know, where different promotions are feuding with each other. I think that what is going to make it work is talent sharing. If promotions are recognizing that, hey, we're over here, and since nobody's making the kind of gigantic money to tie somebody into a contract at one place, that everybody's being able to work as many different places as possible and still make the kind of money and support themselves as pro wrestlers. If hopefully at some point, you know, somebody can break out, you know, into being another big, a big TV sort of thing. But I mean, that's not our focus. Our focus is independent wrestling, that there be a good thriving promotion in every little section of a state so that there's work for the boys, you know?
Josh,
I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Yeah, you definitely did. Josh, I don't know how extensive you are as far as traveling around to different places to see wrestling, but when fans say in Spokane or Moses Lake or Pullman, wherever they might be, I get worded this. Do you think that the fans there are going to get together and maybe try to open up a few more towns in the near future for independent wrestling? Or do you think that by and large this is something that the average fans in towns that don't already have wrestling may not really be following and aware of having happened?
I don't make it out of Seattle much to catch other wrestling shows. I work a lot, and I'm kind of tied down in Seattle. I try to catch what I can here, like Defy and 321 that I work for and Lucha Volcanico. But I know Jake recently has been going on more road trips with Taylor, Mr. Fitness, and Jimmy Flame, and working around the state more. But, yeah, my hope is this opens up not only more places, but the companies that are doing work already, like the companies in Spokane you're mentioning and Yakima and around the state. I hope that this just helps them get bigger and better and more people open up. And like Jake was saying, it's not a matter of competition to us. It's a matter of the more opportunities for the boys to work and the more we can share talent and expenses for bringing people in, the better for everybody. So I'm not really too familiar with the other companies around the state, and I don't make it out as much as I would like to see stuff. I know Jake does the drives more than I do. But yeah, I hope so. I hope it all opens up. And also, I wanted to say, me and Jake haven't been in contact much with promoters from outside of, the Western Washington area too much. If any of those guys are listening to this, any promoters in Spokane or wherever, and they have any questions about the law or want us to help them kind of tell them what happened and help them navigate or whatever, reach out to the Legalized Wrestling Facebook page and get a hold of us. And we'd love to meet and network and, building the wrestling community and the wrestling scene so we have more shows to see and we have the boys that have more show to work, and that's what we're all about. So you can find us, the Legalized Wrestling Facebook group is a good way to get in touch with us. We'd love to meet all the promoters and workers out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to answer. You can send private messages on the Legalized Wrestling page, and I'm happy to answer any specific stuff. If you are a promoter, if you're a fan, if you're a wrestler and you're having trouble navigating the law here in Washington State, I'm happy to help with that. Things can get complex, and dealing with government organizations and bureaucracies is always intimidating for everybody. It's terrifying for me to do it, but I've spent enough time doing it that I know the ins and outs of how it works, and I can point you in the right direction. I can answer your questions. So please, anybody, bring it on. I'm happy to answer it.
Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to thank both of you for taking the time today to help us understand a little bit better about what's going on in our state as far as wrestling and the House Bill 1420. So, and definitely, if there's any last things you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote absolutely anything you have to plug and promote. Jake, why don't you start it off?
Well, even though we just finished up the bill, we are probably embarking on trying to pass yet another bill that would reduce the event fees for regular promotions across the state. So that's our next project, and we're digging into that, and we're going to be working with the existing MMA community about that because it affects them as well. So, that's our next little deal in that, and developing the rules. And hopefully, the law goes into effect at the end of July. So we're going to be making sure that everything is nailed down in terms of how the theatrical wrestling school license is executed. And I'm hoping that we can keep going and wrestling will keep growing here in Washington State. At some point, I'm hoping that legalized wrestling is not going to be a necessary entity in terms of it, but I kind of want to keep existing as a resource for anybody who wants to promote wrestling or become a wrestler in Washington State so that we can make it easy for you. All right. Thanks a lot for having us on. I really appreciate it. Josh.
Yeah. Well, Jake already talked legalized. I'd like to say, everyone should check out 321 Battle, the wrestling company that me and Jake work for / have been running in Seattle here, and Lucha Libre Volcanico. Those guys have helped us out a lot with the legalized wrestling movement. Also, Defy Wrestling, which, as Jake was saying, is kind of the first legal licensed company running in Washington and kind of setting the framework and blazing the path. So check out Defy Wrestling. We got we've been having some really great matches with them. Cody Rhodes came up. Morrison, James Morrison's coming up next month. If you'd like to get a little backstory on how this whole thing came about, we have a movie out on Amazon and iTunes, Body Slam Revenge of the Banana, which is the story of Seattle Semi-Pro Wrestling, the company me and Jake ran that got shut down by the state, with kind of forced us into this whole thing to begin with, which we never really imagined. So if you'd like to get the backstory and see me in a clown suit beating the crap out of people, check out Body Slam Revenge of the Banana on Amazon, iTunes, and et cetera. And join the Legalized Wrestling Facebook group. The more of us, the better.
Well, thank you again for being on with us today. Fans, hit the Google machine, look up what was going on. There's some great articles out there that explain a little bit as well. And definitely hit their Facebook page up if you have any questions. If you're a promoter or a wrestler, ring announcer, referee, what have you, if you're licensed or not licensed in the state of Washington, definitely check that out. Try to educate yourself a little bit about what is happening and what the changes will be here in our state. And I will see some of you hopefully in Portland, Oregon tonight for NWA Blue Collar, Casey Carlisle versus Sunny Days for the NWA Ladies Pacific Northwest Championship. Should be an outstanding match yet again between the two of them. And we will be back with you next week. Next Friday, we'll have Hank Hudson, ring announcer from the East Coast, longtime performer. And then next Sunday afternoon, we will have Sideshow with us. Incredibly, the first time Sideshow has been on the program. Looking forward to next week for sure. So get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for having us on. Have a good day, guys.